Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
Hey, yo, Fro Wrestling Podcast listeners, help us out and click subscribe to show your support. And if you're on YouTube, make sure you enable notifications so every time we have a new episode, you get notified right away. While you're at it, if you are sick and tired of dropping $60 to $100 for the latest and greatest wrestling video game, stop immediately and go to Wrestler Unstoppable, available exclusively through Facebook. Create your wrestler, sign contracts, get involved in storylines, headline pay-per-views, even build your own corporation, all included in Wrestler Unstoppable, available now to all Facebook users, totally free. If you want to become a member of the Fro Wrestling Podcast family and you want your name in the shout-outs like our main man, Harold in St. Louis, how you doing, Harold? Always great to hear from you. Got great questions from Harold this week. Thank you. Check out our Patreon page at www.patreon.com/Fro Wrestling Podcast and sign up today for the month of January. As always, any $25 contributor for the month will co-host an episode of Going Live with me, and our $10 a month contributors will be entered into a drawing for one winner to also co-host an episode of Going Live. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this live episode of the Fro Wrestling Podcast. It's been a few days, a lot going on in the world of professional wrestling. We're going to get to all that a little bit later. Don't forget fan voting in the newest tournament offering, which was the Greatest Wrestlers of the Monday Night Wars. It is live now. Go to FroWrestling.com and cast your vote. Get those votes in. I'm going to wrap up round one later tonight, midnight tonight. I'm going to wrap that round up, move on to round two. If you have questions, comments, things you want to ask throughout the week, we're going to shift this a little bit from what we've done in the past. If you want to leave a message in our talk to text service for me to respond to, go to our Fro Wrestling sound off line at 267-642-1160 to give us questions, comments, concerns, feedback, anything you'd like to give. In addition, I'd like to ask my listeners for a couple things here. One, when you tune into YouTube, do me a favor, shoot a comment on there. Tell me what you thought of the show. Those comments help us get further up into the searches, and we can get more people attracted to the podcast, which of course helps me grow the podcast, but it also brings great conversation to our episodes, which I'd love to see. In addition, if you want to be included, your comments to be on live as we're doing in the episodes, we're shifting our focus to the Spreaker chat function found at FroWrestling.com when you scroll to the page, the part of the page that has the podcast, or if you go directly to Spreaker.com or to the Fro Wrestling Podcast main page at Spreaker, so you could talk to me immediately while I'm doing the podcast episode, and it shows up right in the software in front of me, so I can respond to you immediately. So if you get an opportunity, check that out and do it that way. Our buddy John from Hatfield is always on our chat function. Thank you, John. You're one of our most loyal listeners. He's always on our live episodes, and it's always great to hear from John in Hatfield as well. If you are new to the Fro Wrestling Podcast, if you've never listened to our show before and you want to see what it is that we're going to talk about, go to FroWrestling.com. There is a preview of all the topics that we're going to discuss in every episode of the show. It's a great way to come up with questions and comments that you want to submit to the sound offline, so that we can address them during the show. And when you do that, I'd be more than happy to give you credit for the questions you ask. Harold is great. Harold, buddy, you're awesome. He's always sending me conversation, and I sometimes wonder if these episodes would be as jam-packed with energy for me if I didn't get the conversation from Harold. He's one of my most loyal followers, and I really, really appreciate everything he contributes to the social show. So thank you, Harold, for everything as always, buddy. Love hearing from you. So we're going to get started tonight. There has been so much going on this week. It's relatively hectic week. And I'm just going to put this out there at the beginning. What we're going to talk about is going to be very sensitive. Because those who are obviously diehard wrestling fans know that Enzo Amore is not in a good way this week. So we'll discuss that in detail as best we can. But you guys also know that like a big segment of my audience is the younger audience, and I'm going to keep it clean for them. So I apologize if people are looking for gruff conversation. I'm not that guy. But I do want to address things that I feel are very, very important. So we're going to start with that. We're going to go right for that. Enzo Amore, so for those who do not follow mainstream wrestling press and you rely on the Fro Wrestling Podcast for that, I appreciate your coming to the site, and we're going to address Enzo Amore being accused. And I think it's very, very important to emphasize that he is accused. He's not proven guilty. He has not admitted anything of performing aggressive, inappropriate sexual content with a young lady in October of 2017, sexual assault. I'm using those terms for a reason, basically because of my audience. And that he is being investigated by the police force down in Arizona. And this is a serious, serious situation. There have been videos released on Twitter. This woman has given her opinion of what happened. If something were to have happened, I think it is absolutely critical that fans know that. I saw people online that were making light of the fact that this woman made these claims and immediately jumping to Enzo's defense. Here's the thing, people, and don't get me wrong. Those who know me know I'm a social studies teacher. I believe in the Constitution. I believe in your right to be innocent until proven guilty. All that. So that's why I said what I said at the beginning. He's accused of something, suspected of something. However, at the same time, that woman has the right to not be accused of being, and not to be judged as being a liar. She has a right to prove her side as well. I don't know. I wasn't there. But my understanding is that a young lady was taken to an apartment, a hotel room, that there were other individuals there, that at some point in time, some illegal substances were consumed, some of which inebriated her ability to defend herself. The story is that she claims that she was requested for things to stop, that she wasn't interested, and that it got aggressive physically, leaving her bruised and assaulted. And I apologize, but that is unacceptable. Okay? Unacceptable. And to shame this woman for being so empowered to come forward and bring this to everyone's attention, she apparently went immediately to a hospital. Got checked out, reported to the police right away. This isn't something where somebody waited years or months to say something. She went immediately. And then to cap it all off, this investigation has been going on since October, and Enzo never told WWE. WWE didn't know about it until they were being contacted by places like TMZ, etc., to see what their reaction was. So the end result is Enzo was initially suspended pending an investigation, and now he's been fired, and he is obviously no longer the Cruiserweight champion. They addressed that on 205 Live. There will be a commissioner of 205 Live appointed next week who will determine what to do with the Cruiserweight championship. And at the end of the day, what I hope comes of all this is a couple things. First off, people in a position of power, and I hate to be so political on a wrestling show, but people in a position of power need to not abuse that power. So if something actually happened to this woman, I hope they nail Enzo to the wall to the fullest extent of the law. If Enzo is innocent, I also hope that this woman would be held to the letter of the law for false allegations, you know, defamation of character, slander, and all those things. So that's where I'm at with this issue. Whoever is being honest, I want them to get restitution for the offending party. And I think that's the most fair way I could say that. So for anybody who is not been following that story. That's where we're at right now. It's an investigation. The police apparently are wrapping up. They're waiting for results from a lab of some sort to make their determination if charges will be filed. Charges have not even been filed. And this took place back in October. So that should tell you how this is not an open and shut case. So we'll have to keep our eyes on that. I applaud WWE for doing the right thing, eliminating Enzo from the locker room. Look, this guy has had a storied history of being a pain in the neck for WWE for a couple years anyways. You know what? It was time to cut loose. Just get rid of him. Get rid of the dead weight. Move on and plan your 205 Live brand around somebody else who is not going to bring so much negative publicity to your company. Another big headline this week, CM Punk was brought up during the post pay-per-view new press conference for UFC having their big Daniel Cormier fight this past weekend. And they addressed, Dana White addressed CM Punk's UFC future, and he said how much he likes that dude. And he wants another chance, and he's going to give it to him. So that seals the deal. Anybody who was hoping to see CM Punk return at the Royal Rumble, not going to happen. Dana White has made it clear CM Punk will get one more shot in the UFC. Now, the question I have is, who do you put him against? CM Punk, clearly he wasn't ready for Mickey Gall. It has been a little while, so hopefully his skill set has increased at some level. But at the end of the day, who do you put him against? There's not a lot of people who are going to draw buys, which, let's face it, it is a business, and that's something they need. So you got to put somebody out there who's going to draw a crowd and who is going to deliver in the actual octagon. You can't just put some guy out there who's going to get pummeled because you want to make Punk look good. So that's not going to work either. So I'll be very curious to see how they handle this going forward. The other big story of the week was, you know, Roman Reigns being implicated in a performance-enhancing drug situation. A huge PED supplier was arrested, brought up on charges, and he made statements that he supplied all these important people. Now, I don't know what to make of this. I know Roman has a history, but he claims to have learned from that. Then again, what else do you expect him to say? Do you expect Roman Reigns to walk out and be like, "That's right, I was one of his customers. I'm a PED user. Suspend me. Get rid of me." I don't expect that either. But what I am wondering here is that the people that were chosen by this guy to claim as being customers of his, clients of his, were pretty much a who's who of people who've gotten real buff real quick in Hollywood, or big jacked up wrestler like Roman Reigns. They implicated Matt Damon and people like that, who bulked up for different movie roles and things of that nature. So I wonder if this is legit, or is this something where somebody was trying to grasp for names to make headlines, to try to deflect some of the attention a bit away from their own misdoings. I don't know. I don't know what their motivation would be for lying about it. There was no indication of when the PED use supposedly took place. It could have been back when he was initially had an issue with this. We don't know. We have no idea. But that was the big news, and WWE kind of swept it under the rug. So at this point in time, WWE is not planning on pursuing any kind of punishment for Roman Reigns unless something becomes more concrete that he actually did something since his first issue with performance-enhancing drugs. I pray to God that the guy has nothing to do with PEDs, because let's face it, his career, that's like one of the last things that he needs right now. Other stories. I'm going to bounce around a little bit here because it has been about 10 days since we put up an episode, and I want to get you guys as much information as I can. American Ninja Warrior, for those people who watch the show, I watch it all summer with my kids. We love watching the show. One of their legendary stars, Casey Catanzaro, has been a huge personality on that show. It was reported, included on this podcast, that she had signed with WWE last summer. Well, now officially this past week, she reported to Performance Center. Her picture was taken in an NXT shirt established in 2003 or whatever it says, which was fabulous to see. Or 2013, I apologize, I said 2003. She is there, as well as all the other new signees. Ricochet has reported to the center. War Machine is at the Performance Center. Candice LeRae, who is former World's Most Beautiful Tag Team Partners with Joey Ryan, also reported the Performance Center. I would not be surprised to see Candice LeRae show up at the Royal Rumble. I would love to see War Machine show up on the Monday after the Rumble to really spice up that Raw tag team division. I don't expect that to happen. And the big thing is, somebody asked me, you know, would I send, I got an email this week, you know, question asked, and I apologize. If you send me questions, please give me a name. The Sound Off line, 267-642-1160, allows you to send me questions, but it doesn't tell me your name. It gives me a phone number, and I don't even think it's your phone number. I think it's like a generic phone number that they use so that you get to keep your stuff private. If you want me to give you a shout out, put your name on there. You know, I have no problem giving you a shout out. I love giving shout outs. John in Hatfield, Harold in St. Louis. You know what I mean? So by all means, do that. Nate in Sellersville. By all means, do that. But make sure you put your name there so I can give you credit for asking the question. But the question was asked of me, would I take Ricochet and put him on the main roster on Raw? Would I put him on SmackDown and have one of those dream matchups with AJ Styles? Would I put him on 205 Live because he's tiny? What would I do with Ricochet? Or War Machine, should they go right to the main roster? Candice LeRae, should she go to the main roster? And in a conversation this week with Triple H put out his opinion on the future talent in NXT and that all talents should have to go through NXT first, no matter what your success was elsewhere, not because you're not a quality wrestler who deserves to be on the main roster. However, it is designed so that you can learn how WWE produces television so that when you go to the main roster, you're better prepared for the type of production that they're going to put on. And I actually appreciate that he's very clear about that. AJ Styles was an anomaly. The Gallows and Anderson were an anomaly. They don't typically do that. You'll notice Kevin Owens was as accomplished a wrestler as anyone who's come to WWE, but even he went to NXT. Samoa Joe went to NXT. Finn Balor to NXT. Shinsuke Nakamura to NXT. Most of the talents go to NXT first, and I agree 100% with Triple H because I think when you do that, Bobby Roode's a great example. Bobby Roode could easily have walked in the front door the first day in WWE and challenged for the world championship. But by sending him to NXT, he got the seasoning in WWE way. And when he did come to the main roster, we felt like we were so starved for him to be on the main roster. His debut was phenomenal. Same thing with Nakamura. When they hit his music the first time on SmackDown, it was phenomenal. That's what we want to see when they debut. And I think you get more of that when they go to NXT first. It's just my opinion. One of the common conversations this week was about whether or not Hulk Hogan would have appeared at the Raw 25th anniversary special, which obviously he did not. By the way, I see Demon Scar is popping onto our chat line. How you doing, Demon Scar? You're awesome. Welcome to the show. If you have a question, feel free to shoot it into that comment section on the chat function. Glad to see you. They reinforced their stance on Hulk Hogan. Hogan said that he wasn't asked to be there, but he'd be there in spirit. He's had an impact on all these people's careers, and I agree with him 100%. He made reference to Triple H wanting him to be a part of the brand. But at the end of the day, Hulk Hogan wasn't there, and part of that is because, as WWE posted on Twitter, that they stand by their decision with regards to Hulk Hogan. I do think at some point he's going to be back in the company, but I think all the conversation with Hogan, with his daughter, with other people talking about him returning to the company and wanting him to return to the company. This week, Diamond Dallas Page, another one who got on board with Hulk Hogan should be back in WWE. I think with all that conversation, almost like WWE is being told, hey, listen, it's not up to you, it's up to the fans. And that's simply not the case. WWE is a publicly traded company. They're not going to bring a star back to the company that is going to create controversy for their company. Not that kind of controversy. If they get to the position where they think that he has paid his dues, he's had his time away, and that he'd be a successful add to the brand for some reason, I'm sure they'll bring him back. But that may not be right now. I see Demon Scar here agrees with me on that. Buddy, I'm with you. I think Hulk Hogan will come back when they're ready for him, but at the same time, you got to be careful of what you're willing to put on your weekly television program, and it can't always be just what the fans want. I know the fans don't want to hear me say that, but that's the truth. Speaking of things the fans really want, Daniel Bryan's Royal Rumble status has been up in the air, and it looks like that Daniel Bryan is not cleared for the Rumble. Now, the reason that's such a big deal is that the betting odds, you guys know that on my webpage, frowrestling.com, we had the betting odds up there a week ago, and the odds this week shifted significantly. If anybody looked at that chart that I put up, the odds for Daniel Bryan to win the Royal Rumble were 66-1, meaning he was a superior underdog, wasn't going to happen. And then this week, his odds changed to 5-1, which means that he is literally right now the third highest likely winner of the Royal Rumble. Now, I don't know why the odds would shift like that. I did hear some conversation that people, the Vegas odd makers, thought that with all the betting action on Daniel Bryan, that it may influence WWE to give him the spot, and then they would be out a lot of money. I don't know if I buy that, but at this point in time, Daniel Bryan is the third highest likely candidate to win the Rumble, behind Shinsuke Nakamura, who is the favorite to win, and John Cena, who is the next favorite to win. Interestingly enough, Roman Reigns fell to fourth, which I think is because we already know, and this is the frustrating thing about WWE right now, everybody already knows that Roman Reigns is going to be facing Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. We already know that. This match, this triple threat for the Universal Championship, is a joke, okay? Because there is nothing that's going to happen that's going to compromise Roman Reigns' ascent to being the company guy, even though the fans don't want that. And there's nothing that's going to stop Brock Lesnar from walking away from his contract at the end of the year, except for a ton of money. And they're already paying him a ton of money, and he's willing to walk. So at the end of the day, we already know what's going to happen. And that's frustrating. So when you go into the Royal Rumble, you already know that, you know, Brock Lesnar's walking out champion. The only thing they could try to pull would be dropping the belt to Braun Strowman, and then having them win it back at a pay-per-view before Mania. But then they don't get their rubber match. You know, they don't get their third match. You know, one guy wins it, the other guy regains it. They have to have one more match. And there's not enough time for that. Unless you put one on Raw, which I don't support either. That's a pay-per-view level match. So I think Brock obviously is probably going to walk out. I mean, I'll do an official prediction show Saturday night, right after the NXT TakeOver Philadelphia show. I apologize. I've been getting all these questions about the Philadelphia weekend here. There is a convention in Philadelphia, the Icons of Wrestling, at the ECW Arena.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
There is NXT TakeOver Philadelphia. There's the Royal Rumble. There's Raw. There's SmackDown. Like, everything's going on in Philly for the next week, and I am not going to be able to be there. Not because I wouldn't love to be. I'd die to go to this one. This is a big one for me. However, I got other responsibilities, and I want to make sure I'm here with you guys. You know, I don't want to be sitting in a hotel bar somewhere waiting for wrestlers to walk in, hoping to say hi to them and take a picture to put on my webpage. I would love to be doing that, don't get me wrong, but I'd much rather be on Twitter during the pay-per-views, put up my information, give my reaction to matches, congratulate the Royal Rumble winners, and, you know, talk to you guys, and then have an episode. You know, that's what I'd like to do, because I want to deliver the most on-time information I can during a big pay-per-view like the Royal Rumble. So I will not be attending those events, at least as of right now. That's the plan. So want to get that out of the way. But yes, Daniel Bryan apparently is one of the favorites now to win the Rumble. Don't want to forget, for those who just tuned in, that's what we're talking about right now. Bobby Roode, in the news this week, having a conversation about who his highest, most desired WrestleMania opponent is. Kind of a surprise to me, because a lot of times these wrestlers, when they talk about things like this, they're talking about opponents that are in their league right now. So Bobby Roode, I would expect Bobby Roode to say something like Shinsuke Nakamura or AJ Styles or something of that nature. And I'm not taking anything away from those wrestlers, but John Cena is the face of the franchise for the last umpteen years, and that's who Bobby Roode would like to face for the United States Championship. And I'm going to tell you something. I know that the plan, and yes, this is a part of a later conversation, but I know what the plan is for WrestleMania for John Cena, or at least what they're saying right now. And when I hear Bobby Roode versus John Cena, I actually get excited about that. I think that would be a fantastic reason to build around that match, is that United States Championship. John Cena brought so much prestige to that championship. I think it would be very interesting to see how that plays out. So we'll have to keep our eyes on that. Obviously, that's not going to happen this year. That'll lead me to my next point. That's not going to happen this year, but it's definitely a match I want to see down the road at some point. I don't know. I think I'd prefer Bobby Roode be the heel in that match, obviously, even though he's so over as a babyface right now. But definitely a match we need to see. And that leads me to the Undertaker's promo on Raw 25. Here's the deal. A lot of people speculated that that was a retirement promo. Other people said that he was putting people on notice. If I watched that, I actually saw a thing this evening on eWrestlingNews.com. I want to make sure I give them credit for this. They were talking about how The Undertaker was kind of thrown off because he didn't realize how small the venue was. He wrestled there on the first episode. How do you forget that? But either way, the current plan, as of this writing, is for The Undertaker to face John Cena at WrestleMania. That's the plan. If it changes, it's not going to be because they didn't have a plan in place. It'll be because The Undertaker physically is not able to go. And that would be a sad thing to see. I'm not ready to give up on The Undertaker. I thought he looked fantastic, at least physically. I don't know if anybody noticed, but when he was standing in the ring and spinning in a circle, he looked so thin. And he not in a sickly way, but in like a buff kind of way. He looks like he's in fantastic shape, which is kind of interesting because as I think about the whole Raw 25th anniversary show, that's one of the things that shocked me is he looks so fit. One of the things that also shocked me is his wife looks so old. Michelle McCool did not look good at all. She looked very much north of the prime of her career. You know, sad to say, but it's the truth. Great to see all the other people come back. Here's my issue with Raw 25. One, horribly booked. Dear God, that was horribly booked. The Vince McMahon Stone Cold segment was phenomenal. And as soon as that segment was over, the show just went downhill from there. First off, I absolutely love Christian, and I love that he brought the Peep Show back. But at the end of the day, he got to talk for maybe 30 seconds, and then the rest of the segment was The Bar, Jason Jordan, and Seth Rollins. And I hated it. Hated it. If you're going to bring Christian back, let him talk. He's one of the best talkers in the history of the business. And they didn't let him talk. Jason Jordan took over the whole segment and made it a complete mockery of the Peep Show. So I hated that. I hated the match. Or I don't want to call it the match. The physicality in that situation. I was not a fan of any of the wrestling action. Not the Woken Matt Hardy versus Bray Wyatt. What a waste of a feud you've been building for months, and then you give us that crappy, short, horrible match. Why even introduce the Woken Matt Hardy character if you're just going to have him buried in 5 minutes to Bray Wyatt on the Raw show? We got so much buildup for this show. I was expecting one of the greatest Raw shows in history. MVP was coming back. If you didn't know what MVP looks like outside of him wearing that purple outfit he always wore, you almost missed that he was there playing poker. That poker segment took up way too much time. Now, my understanding is part of the reason that took so much time is because of Enzo's situation. You know, for those who are tuning into the episode late, we covered the Enzo stuff at the onset of the show. Enzo being fired for sexual assault on a woman back in October. His situation and WWE not knowing about it until right before they went live for Raw 25 was too much for WWE. He had to give them notice. He didn't. They fired him, but then they had to rewrite the show on the spot. So what ends up happening is that the Dudley Boys segment was actually supposed to be at a completely different setup. They ended up improvising on the fly, putting in this Titus Worldwide versus Heath Slater and Rhino match, which ends with the Dudleys coming out, which I loved seeing the Dudleys. Thank you, Ring of Honor, for letting Bubba Ray go back and do that. I thought that was the right thing to do. That was best for business. Which, by the way, a lot of people don't know this, but after Raw 25 went off the air, Seth Rollins appeared at the Manhattan Center, and during a promo he was cutting, actually made reference to being a former Ring of Honor World Heavyweight Champion. I don't know why they'd let him cut all that promo, but I love it. Absolutely love it. Maybe that's what they gave in return for letting them have Bubba Ray. I don't know. But I thought that was a great thing to see. If you look online, you can actually find that, where he cuts that promo. But yeah, the rest of the Raw, the D-Generation X stuff, I was so bored with. I didn't mind the Scott Hall stuff. I actually thought Scott Hall looked pretty good. I would have loved for him to just rip off that. That is the ugliest black suit coat with that red bad guy blood looking, whatever you want to call that, frilly stuff on it. I would love for him to have torn that whole thing off and be standing there in Razor Ramon gear. Because he looks great. I'd actually like to see him make an appearance in the Royal Rumble as a surprise entrant. Just my opinion. But yeah, the rest of the Raw 25, I thought was god awful. Even the ending segment where you have all these legends come out around the ring. Why were they there? It made it look like it was going to be like a lumberjack kind of deal, which what they should have done. And look, I know I'm fantasy booking here, but you know what they should have done? Brought out these people like MVP, like, you know, Brother Love, all these just past talents, Ron Simmons, you know, all those guys, JBL, get them in the ring, and they should have had like a Legends Battle Royal just so we got a few minutes of action with all these people you wanted to see. The other thing they also need to do, if they weren't going to do that with the guys, is they should have done that with all the returning divas. Oh, but wait a minute. Many of them might be entering the Women's Royal Rumble. We'll have to wait and see. I would not be surprised. Some of the reactions people gave, I was surprised. People were like booing Kelly Kelly, and they went nuts for Tori Wilson. Congrats to her. Apparently the fans really miss her. The Bellas, it's like they blew right past them. I really thought the show could have been booked better. The ending segment with Braun taking out Brock Lesnar, who took out Kane, was so rushed. And the legends being around the ring, it meant nothing. They had nothing to do with it. It was just pointless. The Jimmy Fallon stuff was horrible. I actually enjoyed the John Cena stuff going with Elias. I think it helps elevate Elias and it keeps John Cena relevant in the event that he does win the Royal Rumble. Because he's a free agent, he could challenge either world champion he wants. That's why he's one of the top four favorites to win the Rumble. But otherwise, a weak show. That was an absolutely weak show. And not because it was a bad show, because compared to the build-up, it was garbage. Everybody expected like this unbelievable show, and instead we got the average Raw show. And maybe that's the problem. When you tune into Wrestle Kingdom, which, by the way, people got to watch for free on television. They have to pay $9.95 for a network. You got to watch it free on Access Television a couple days after the event. When people see that, and they compare that to Raw 25th Anniversary show, which is supposed to be a big show, there's no comparison. I'll take Jericho versus Kenny Omega any day of the week over the crap I saw on Monday, except maybe for that Chris Jericho segment. That was hilarious. Thank you, New Japan Pro Wrestling, for, you know, letting that happen. Or maybe he doesn't have a contract. Maybe he's on a handshake deal. I don't know. But interesting stuff coming out of Raw 25, but definitely a letdown overall. However, after talking about the Women's Royal Rumble, a couple things. First off, Paige got the confirmation she absolutely will be on the blackout list and not able to compete as a WWE performer ever again. I say it, never say never in pro wrestling. I'm going to say never just because the CTE information that we've got now is so focused on preventing further injuries. I just don't see WWE getting her clearance no matter what she does. Now, maybe when her contract runs out, maybe she wrestles for somebody else, kind of like Daniel Bryan has teased. But I don't know. This sounds like, from the stories we've seen, that she apparently was told by her doctors not to return in the first place. Then not only does she return against doctor's orders, but she gets hurt again. So it sounds like Paige's career is over as an in-ring performer, but I think she has a lot to offer in the way of a manager or whatever you want to call that, a mentor for her Absolution group. I think that they need to focus more on that group. It's like they're burying the group. So we'll have to see. However, related to the Women's Royal Rumble, Stephanie McMahon's role has been revealed. So it was reported today that Stephanie McMahon is going to be on commentary for the Women's Royal Rumble. I'll tell you why I think that's interesting. I think what would be a fantastic angle, if they are not planning on Ronda Rousey facing Asuka or Ronda Rousey facing Charlotte, those are the only two I would put her against. If those are not going to happen, I want you to picture this for a moment, that in the Royal Rumble, Ronda Rousey comes out and at some point she cleans out the ring. She's the only woman standing. The timer counts down. And when the buzzer goes off, because of the history at WrestleMania in the past, Stephanie McMahon runs into the ring and eliminates Ronda Rousey, setting up a match between The Rock and Ronda Rousey versus Triple H and Stephanie McMahon. I think that is easily something they could put in the works. I think that could be a big part of what they do if they go away from either the Four Horsewoman match that they've been talking about or Rousey challenging one of the big females for one of the championships. I'll be curious to see. Triple H has been very vague about Ronda Rousey, saying that nothing's on paper yet. He had dinner with her agent and her like till a week and a half ago. So I think it's very obvious at some point she's coming. It's just a matter of when, not if. Somebody else who is absolutely coming, has been at the Performance Center all week, is EC3 from Impact Wrestling, has re-signed with WWE. He's had to cancel a booking on the day of the Royal Rumble. It's very curious. In addition, because of all the hoopla over the broken Matt Hardy gimmick, EC3 is allowed to keep that moniker when he comes to WWE. Now you gotta wonder, does WWE really want to keep that name EC3, where they got to try to explain it to people? They were welcoming of Dixie Carter last year when she participated in one of their Table for Three moments. Or did they make him go back to the Derek Bateman character he was when he was in, you know, Florida Championship Wrestling, NXT in the past? I'm not sure what they do with that. But I'm thrilled that he's in WWE. It sounds like Bobby Lashley is not far away either. It is now sounding more and more like Eddie Edwards may re-sign with the company. Laurel Von Ness is now officially gone from Impact Wrestling. The theory is she'll be coming to WWE, that they're very much interested in her. And there's other people who are talking about leaving Impact Wrestling. They better figure something out. You know, they got to sustain the momentum that they've been building. So we'll have to see what's going on with that. For me, I think the biggest thing they could do with EC3, I think you leave him as EC3, because I think one of the things that adds to the quality of the wrestling content is almost like the rivalry between the different companies, the different brands. WCW versus WWE only got more intense when WCW started directly acknowledging their competition and pretty much spitting on their competition. I'm not advocating for that, but what I'm saying is people tune in more when there is controversy. That's where Eric Bischoff got that idea. Controversy creates cash. He's right. And so I think acknowledging EC3 as a former Impact Wrestling star, I would not call him that. I'd call him a former TNA star, because TNA is gone. So I would call him a TNA, former TNA champion, and bring him in. Acknowledge his past, and then make him a focal point of the roster. Ricochet already looking like he's setting up a feud when he gets ready to go down at the Performance Center. I'll be interested to see what they do with him, but it sounds like he will be going there first. And my only concern with the with War Machine being there, because I got this question a few minutes ago, and again, Demon Scar is still with me, but this other guy did not put a name up. I got a period, and that's it. So if your name is period, period, whatever, and this is, he sent it into the sound off line here. He said, do we really want to see War Machine in NXT when we already have Sanity there? Well, how long are we going to keep Sanity in NXT? Kind of the same thing with the Authors of Pain. We need a new tag team down there so that you can get those two teams to the main roster. I would not be surprised to see the Authors of Pain in the Royal Rumble. Not surprised at all. Or Sanity. They could all be debuting in the Rumble, and I would be perfectly okay with that. I think they've done everything they could possibly do for the NXT brand, both of those teams. And one to each one of the brands would be a great addition to help WWE's tag team division. I got Demon Scars complaining, saying TNA is gone. It's gone downhill. They have. The quality of their shows, actually, lately, though, if you follow the updates for the TV tapings that are going to take them all the way through March, it sounds like they're putting together some pretty good product. The problem is they're losing all their talents. So even if you put a great situation together on tape, if your talent's leaving, that's the end of it. They really need to retain some stars. Demon Scar is saying he doesn't want to see War Machine in NXT yet. Hey, you know, I just want to see him in WWE, period. I don't care where they are, main roster, NXT, whatever. Just get something going with them. That's a great tag team, and it's one that's long overdue. I'm glad to see they finally got their opportunity in WWE. That's all the time we have for this episode. Check back with us next episode. Saturday night, we'll be going live with our prediction show for the Royal Rumble. We'll open up the next round of voting for the best superstar of the Monday Night Wars. If you haven't voted in round one, go to www.frowrestling.com. Cast your vote today. The voting closes tonight at midnight. You got 1 hour to vote. Get your votes in for that. Best star of the Monday Night Wars. Get that in. Special thanks, as always, out to bensound.com and purpleplanet.com for producing all the music and sound effects we use in today's show. Today's podcast is sponsored in part by Beazle Games. Bringing a new friend to family game night is easy with sketchy people. Showcase your artistic side in this game from Beazle Games by going to www.frowrestling.com and clicking the icon in the middle of the screen. And AlleyRepair.com. Contact AlleyRepair today for servicing of all your classic skee-ball, pinball, and arcade game needs. If you're looking for your next career move and you're considering college, university life, or you just need some formal training for your next career decision, go to our website at frolifeplanning.com for all your higher education needs, as Fro Life Educational Planning is for today, for tomorrow, and for life with Fro Life. I'm Fred Froelich, better known as Mr. Fro. I want to thank you for taking a few moments with us today. If you're looking for more wrestling news and rumors, go to www.thesportsjunkies101.com for the latest articles on the world of professional wrestling. Until next time, everybody, take care, have a great night, and if I don't get to talk to you beforehand, if you don't tune into the next episode, get over and check out NXT TakeOver Philadelphia. Be ready for a great weekend and following Monday and Tuesday of action. It is WrestleMania season right around the corner. Be ready for that Royal Rumble. I'll give you my predictions Saturday night. Until next episode, everybody, take care. Have a great night. Thank you.